And Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to jump right in here. Hebrews chapter 11. All right. Well, we talked about the faith of Abel, the faith of Enoch, the faith of Noah, of Abraham, of Sarah, and then the faith of Abraham again. Tonight, I want to begin in verse number 20 and jump right into this chapter in Hebrews chapter 11. Verse number 20 says, "By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones." Three descendants of Abraham here in faith, trusting in what they could place in what God said. We're going to look at these three individuals tonight. We're going to try to look at them as thoroughly and yet quickly as possible with three of them. I don't think we'll have too much difficulty there. But for way of emphasis, if we could read that one more time. As the scripture says, "By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones." Let's pray together, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, I thank you once again. God, your goodness is just so overwhelming at times because it's so undeserving, and yet you give it to us anyway. And tonight, as we look through these events through your scripture, as we see these men's faith, Father, would you increase ours? May we see it. Father, most of all, may we know it. Help us tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I want you to go all the way back to the book of Genesis as we find these three men of Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. Again, the descendants of Abraham, as he was promised by God that he would be the father of many nations. God came to Abraham and told him multiple times what was going to happen and what was going to take place. We're going to begin tonight in Genesis chapter 25. And we're going to move forward throughout the book of Genesis as we explore the faith of these three men. Now, all of them, of course, descendants of Abraham, of course, in order. Isaac being Abraham's son. Isaac then having Jacob and Esau and blessing them. Jacob, of course, having 12 sons. And Joseph being one of those, the 11th of 12. And yet, the one that God used throughout that to deliver Israel and to deliver the nation of Israel and to save them alive there in Egypt. And we're going to explore. We don't have time, of course, to go through the entire event. I hope that at some point in time you will take the time to go back and read the book of Genesis. The book of beginnings that God has reserved for us, that he's kept for us, as we've just kind of highlighted what is taking place here. But it is a tremendous, tremendous amount of insight to the way God moved and worked. And especially when we get into the life of Joseph and we see the wonderful events and stories that were through his life. But I want to start tonight in Genesis chapter number 25. And I want to make three statements concerning individuals and in the manner in which their faith was exercised for Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. And so we jump right in to 5. And the scripture says in verse number 19, it says, "And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian, of Padan-Aram, the sister of Laman the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived." Can we hold just for a moment as we look through and we see the similarities? Isaac's wife was a barren woman, and he entreated to the Lord. He asked the Lord that she would have a child. And the Bible says, as the Lord heard him, in verse number 21, Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And we see that, of course, in comparison to Sarah, his mother, also in that. But the Bible says in verse number 22, "And the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she did, and she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. His name was called Jacob, and Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob, and Jacob sowed pottage. And Esau came from the field, and he was faint, and Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. When we come to the faith of Isaac, and I want to make some general statements from all three of these events to our own faith and kind of make some comparison here. When we come to Genesis chapter 25, and we see what is taking place within the life of Isaac. Isaac, of course, wanted a son. He needed a son. He knew that what God had promised to his father Abraham, that he was going to make Abraham the father of many nations. And now here's Isaac. His wife is barren, and he is in need of a child. And so where does he go? What does he do? Well, of course, we see he goes to the Lord. Lord says, all right, here you go. And the next thing you know, Rebekah is pregnant. And so when we see those, sometimes our faith is based upon the faith of another. Sometimes our faith is based upon the faith of another. You see, this was something that had been handed down to Abraham. And then Abraham handed it down to Isaac. You know, when it comes to faith, there are many different aspects in which we base our faith. Of course, we base our faith upon the Word of God. And as we base our faith upon the Word of God, we put our faith and trust in what the Word of God says, and we believe it to be true by faith. We place it there. But holy men of God, the Bible tells us in 2 Peter, that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Our Bible was put together, and we can have faith in it, we can trust in it, and we can believe in it, but it is also based upon the faith of someone else. I think back to the time that I was saved. How many of you were saved on your own? Nobody told you about Jesus. Anyone? How many of you, somebody told you about Jesus and you trusted what they said? All right. How many of you are not sure? Okay. All right. For me, I was sitting in a children's service listening to a fellow by the name of Mike Williams teach the lesson. As he taught the lesson, it was his faith in God that led me to my faith in God. It was also the faith of my parents that carried me to church that day. You see, they didn't have to do that. But it was their faith in God that strengthened my faith in God. You see, sometimes our faith is based upon the faith of someone else. For Isaac, it was Abraham's faith that first strengthened his faith. And as we see this and as we go through, something happens though. Something happens. When you come into chapter number 26, we begin to see some things taking place. In chapter 26, the Bible says there was a famine in the land, beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And you go through, and we can see Isaac doing some things. He's digging some wells. He's doing all kinds of different things. But I want you to notice something in verse number 24. Again, I told you we didn't have time to go through every bit of this. But in verse number 24, the Bible says something very significant here. It says, "And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well." So here we find, as we transition through this, that while in the beginning his faith was Abraham's faith, of what he was taught and what he was told, now he has God, as far as we can see, for the first time, God coming to Isaac and telling him and fulfilling what his father Abraham had told him. You know how it is when you hear something in the Word of God, and then you sit down and through your own study, your own reading, your own looking and digging in, and you see something and you figure out what it is. Have you ever had that happen before? Isn't that great? It's a really a wonderful thing when you sit down and you're reading and say, "Oh, there it is." Well, this was that moment for Isaac. God said, "Look," said, "I'm the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and I will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant's sake." From this moment, it's Isaac's turn to bless his children. Isaac is getting ready to die in the next chapter. He's getting old. He knows he's at the point of certain death. And he calls Esau in and says, "Esau, you know I love you. I want to bless you. But I want you to go out into the field, to the woods." He said, "I want you to kill something. And I want you to make me some venison, the kind you know I like." Esau was happy to oblige. He grabbed his things, he went out, and he's going to go kill an animal. Rebecca overheard Isaac talking to Esau. She says, "Oh my." She goes and grabs Jacob, says, "Jacob, your father's going to bless Esau. We can't let that happen. I'm going to make some venison like he likes. I'm going to give it to you. You're going to take it into your father, and you're going to be blessed by him. Jacob's like, I don't know about this, Mom. He's like, you know Esau, he's hairy, and I'm not. Dad's going to know. While Dad couldn't see, he's going to want to feel. He's going to want to check it out. Rebecca says, we can take care of that. She puts some fur on his arms. She goes in the kitchen. She makes some venison up, gives it to Jacob, says, here, take this to your father. Jacob goes in. Dad? Who's that? It's your son. Is that you, Esau? I can smell that venison. Isaac even asked him. He said, how'd you do it so fast? How'd you go so quickly? He said, I just knew you wanted some. Brought it to him. He said, you sound like Jacob. He said, are you Esau? He said, yes. I am thy son Esau. He said, let me feel. And he felt his arms. He said, you're hairy like Esau, but your voice sounds like Jacob. He said, I'm your son. Matter of fact, in verse number 19, Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou hast badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit, eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. Now, I find it interesting throughout this that in Hebrews chapter 11, in the 20th verse, the Bible says, by faith, Isaac blessed. Isaac couldn't see, could he? He could hear. He tried to use some discernment, but he didn't. Wasn't able to. He was lied to. He believed the lie. But it was still by faith. And it wasn't his faith necessarily in Jacob or his faith in Esau, but his faith in God, that God said, I will bless thee, and I will make thee of many nations. Esau comes back. Dad, I have your venison. Then Isaac knew. He couldn't bless Esau the same way he blessed Jacob. And from this point on in Jacob and Esau's life, the Bible tells us that Esau hated Jacob in verse 41 because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. These words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau is touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. And she sends Jacob off to her brother Laban's house to find a wife, to get married, to go take care of business and be away from Esau. Till he calms down is what her hope was. And so we find through the rest of this passage of Genesis as we move forward, we find Jacob. See, he was blessed of Isaac. Now, I want you to recall something, though, that back in Genesis chapter 25, we see when Rebekah is pregnant, the Lord told her, going to have two sons, and the elder is going to serve the younger. Now, she had a hand in that, and she made that happen, so to speak, as she was told. And we see the striving of Jacob. Jacob, of course, was also tricked himself as he goes to Laban, his future father-in-law, and he finds a girl by the name of Rachel. He says, "Oh, I like her." Laban says, "You can marry her, but you got to work for me for 7 years, and I'll give her to you." He says, "Done." 7 years goes by. All right, here you go. Time to get married. Comes in, opens the veil, and who was it? Who?
Leah.
Yeah, it was Leah. Whoa! Now, can you imagine? Lifting the veil, you're thinking, "Hey, my wife, whoa!" That was Jacob that day. He goes to Laban, he says, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa! This isn't Rachel!" Says, "Well, older daughter can't get married before the second one. But you work another 7 years and I'll give you Rachel." Oh my. So he does. 7 years. He has these works there. He finally gets Rachel. Of course, between Leah and Rachel, there's not a good relationship between the boys. Now it's time for Jacob. I want you to go to Genesis 48, where we're really moving rapidly through this. Of course, we know Jacob has 12 sons. Jacob eventually, his name has changed to Israel. Jacob really had quite an eventful life, did he not? In this eventful life, and his working those 14 years, and as he comes back to his homeland some years later, he's got his children there, he's got his wives, he has servants, he's done well for himself, the Lord has blessed him. He sees and knows Esau is coming on the same path. He sends his wife and his children beforehand. Sends Rachel and Joseph and Benjamin. Secondly, I tell you, it's a wonderful story of forgiveness, of mending things, how they did it. And when Esau saw his brother Jacob, they ran and they embraced. Oh my, it's truly a wonderful story. But in Genesis chapter 48, Joseph has already been sold into slavery. He's been in prison. He has risen to power in Egypt. And so we're really fast-forwarding quite a bit here to get these principles. Because Jacob is getting ready to bless the two sons of Joseph. Joseph, of course, one that foretold that his older brothers would serve him and bow to him. And of course, we know all of those things happen. But as Ephraim and Manasseh that Jacob thought he would never see, he thought that he would never lay eyes on. In verse number 8, the Bible says in Genesis 48, "And Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, Who are these? Joseph said unto his father, They are my sons, whom God hath given to me in this place. And he said, Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see." Isn't that amazing? Isaac couldn't see. Jacob couldn't see. The Bible says, "And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face. And lo, God hath showed me also thy seed. Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac. Let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, Not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. And he shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, In thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he said, Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said unto Joseph, Behold, I die, but God shall be with you, and bring you again into the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow. So we see sometimes our faith is based upon the faith of someone else. In each case, we have the faith of Abraham to Isaac, from Isaac to Jacob to Joseph, including Ephraim and Manasseh. But sometimes our faith is based upon hope alone. As Israel, that's Jacob, remember that. As Jacob or Israel was blessing the sons of Joseph, he was hoping. He was trusting. He was believing that God would bless them. And bless them, he did. And the Bible again tells us that it was by faith. By faith. As we find here, Israel tells Joseph, it says, Behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again into the land of your fathers. When we come into chapter 50 in the closing chapter, now Joseph is preparing to die. In verse number 19, the Bible says, And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for I am I in the place of God. But as for you, you thought it evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you as and your little ones. And he comforted them, spake kindly to them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children, third generation, the children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you, and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware unto Abraham, to Isaac and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Sometimes our faith is based upon the faith of someone else. Sometimes our faith is based upon hope and trust alone. And sometimes our faith is based upon the confidence from past experiences. Joseph had already seen God's hand upon his life in delivering him in previous times. He believed God. And he believed his father that he said God would deliver him back into the land of his fathers. Evidently, Joseph had come to the place and the conclusion that it would be his bones and not his living, breathing body. Faith. Faith. These men had. So we're not going to stay here. Why? Because his dad told him. See, it was his father's faith that again was passed down. But Joseph could speak confidently through faith based upon the past experiences. Can you imagine tonight if we never saw an answer to prayer? Aren't you glad that God answers prayers in such a way to increase our faith? I'm still amazed each time, and I don't know why. We probably shouldn't be. But God hears, He answers. As we go to Him by faith. And if you'll note here that each time that when we go from the faith of someone else, as that is passed down, our faith will. Eventually, as we trust and we see God answering and God moving, our faith will eventually become our faith and not the faith of someone else's. And we can then base our faith upon having confidence that God has answered in time past. That was the faith of Isaac, of Jacob, of Joseph. Where are you basing your faith? My experience, my faith has been based on these same areas as these men. In the coming weeks, we'll see the faith of Moses, and we'll spend a few weeks there, as we did with Abraham. Oh my, what a way. What a way to live our lives by faith, knowing and trusting in God, believing Him in what He can do. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. As we see this evening, faith is multiplied. Let God move within your life. Demonstrate your faith. Our Heavenly Father, I come to you tonight. Father, I ask that you would help me. Father, sometimes my faith is so weak, it's so little. Father, I want it to be great. May we trust in you. May we take the past experiences. May we have confidence to know that you'll answer. Move within our midst tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.